Okay, good morning. We are continuing with Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishnahei, and I believe we left off in number 9, the Medrash Shmuel, with the sixth miracle. So, as the Medrash Shmuel states, Hanes Avav, what was the sixth miracle? We're number 8. We didn't finish the Achla Yisrael? We just finished. Good. Number 9, Medrash Shmuel. Hanis Havav, v'lo nitzcha haruach es amod ha'ashan. Miracle number 6 was that the wind never dispersed the pillar of smoke. So let's just define what we're talking about over here. Pillar of smoke from where? From the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach? Sorry? Nechosh. So this is actually interesting because this we're going to have to see exactly what they're referring to. Remember again, there were two pillars of smoke. Because remember, as much as we made the distinction between the Mizbechos, the gold Mizbech, which was used for Ketores, the copper Mizbech, which was used for animal sacrifice, at the end of the day, both of them had a pillar of smoke which ascended. Now we'll see from the Medrash Shmuel which one we think he's referring to. Now, the truth is, even before we go on, why would you assume that it's talking about the Mizbech HaNechoshes, the copper altar used for animal sacrifice? Why would you just make that assumption? Good. So the simple answer is that, remember again, the Mizbech HaKitores was indoors. So as such, it was not subject to the elements. So there wouldn't be such a miracle that the wind never dispersed the column of smoke. The greater miracle would seem to be paramount in the outer Mizbeach, subject to the elements, the same way that we saw in miracle number 5, that the rain never extinguished the fire of the Mizbeach. So along those same lines, the wind, or I should say, the wind never dispersed the column of smoke that ascended in a straight pillar from the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. So says the Medrash Shmuel. So what's the message in the miracle? Hodianu ki hine haruach hu davar chazak. Wind could be very strong. Right? So wind, as we see, could be very strong. Mefarik harim u'meshabris sloim. Wind could be so strong that it could literally, what was it? Mefarik harim u'meshabris sloim? Uproot mountains, break rocks. Va'ashan hu'achalash shebechalashim. On the other hand, what is smoke? What is smoke? Chalash shebechalashim. The weakest of the weak. There's no mamashus to it. There's nothing to it. Ukimat imbo mamashus. So amazingly enough, what the Medrash Shmuel is saying is, let's understand this. Wind can be so strong. Wind has the ability to go ahead and literally topple even the strongest of structures. Wind could uproot the mountains. Wind could destroy the stones. Smoke by itself, smoke has nothing to it. Smoke is, to even use the word malleable would be incorrect. Smoke, because there's nothing to it, it can't withstand, or it can't stand up, I should say, to any force which acts upon it. Yet, amazingly enough, v'im kol zeh, lo nitzcha haruach es amud ha'ashan. The wind was unable to move the pillar of smoke which ascended from the Mizbeach, mipnei shehaya kodesh. Why? Why was this pillar of smoke? Why was this pillar of smoke impervious to the strongest of winds? What does the Medrash Shmuel, attribute that to? The fact that what? It was kodesh. It was holy. What does that mean? So apparently, with the Medrash, so what do you think the Medrash Shmuel is saying? What's the message here? So where there kedusha, where there is kedusha, there is strength. Maybe we'll be careful with the word invincible, because that's a strong word. That's true by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the kedusha of the Ribono Shel Olam. But even if we don't use such a strong word, kedusha is strength. Where there is kedusha, there is strength. Where there is kedusha, there is the ability to stand up against the forces which may act upon you. What's the raya? That smoke which ascends from the Mizbeach is the smoke of kedusha. If you were to go ahead and pick the weakest example of the wheel and the weakest things in this world, smoke would be a great example. Smoke is not strong. Smoke has nothing to it. What happens when something acts upon smoke? What occurs? Not a trick question. What happens when something acts against smoke? It dissipates. It can't stand up to anything. Yet again, the Mishnah is telling us that no matter how strong you could have gale force winds, and at the end of the day, they would not dissipate the smoke which ascended from on top of the Mizbeach. The message being, Kiddusha, holiness, has the ability to stand up to anything. Therefore, says the Medrash Shmuel, Imkein, Ha'adam Shiekadesh Atzmo B'Torah U'B'Mitzvos. So the message over here is, if a person sanctifies himself with Torah Mitzvos, and even if he, this person, is quote unquote the weakest person in the world, Yomar Gibor Ani, he can make the statement, I am strong. And even if all of the winds of the world come and blow against him, Ein Mezizin Oso Mimkomo, they cannot move him from his place. Ve'en gibor ba'olam sheyachol la'amod kinegdo. So what tell me what the message over here of the Medrash is, because this is very powerful. What's the message of the Medrash Shmuel? What's the message? So if we immerse ourselves in Kiddusha, Kiddusha gives us strength. I want to tell you something amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rav Ephraim Ashri. Anyone ever hear that name? Rav Ephraim Ashri, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was the Rav of the Kovno ghetto. Now, that wasn't an appointed position. In Kovno was one of the Gidolei Hadar, Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was executed by the Lithuanian collaborators with the Nazis, Masham Bezichram. When Rav Elchanan Wasserman, so when the Jews were herded into the ghetto in Kovno, so Rav Elchanan Wasserman was the Rav. He was the Rav of the city. He was one of the Gidolei Hadar. When he was murdered, so Rav Ephraim Ashri, who was an incredible Talmud Chacham, kind of took on the mantle of leadership of the Jews of Kovno. And they asked him all kinds of shilas. Now you have to appreciate, Rav Ashri had to answer all of these shilas without the benefit of a library or sfarim to access. He had to literally do it from memory. Rav Ashri understood the profundity that Jews were asking shilas in the middle of the darkest period of Jewish history. So what he did was he wrote them down, and he buried them in a canister. And he said, you know, if he survives the war, afterwards he would go back and publish them. So Baruch Hashem, Rav Ashri survived the war. His survival in and of itself is an incredible story. He hid for many months in an underground bunker. He came back after the war, unearthed the canister, and rewrote the tshuvas. Now what he did is, after the war, he went back, because he answered all of the shilas, and after the war he went back and he put in the Marim Makomos, right? He put in the sources, because now he had access to Svarim. It was published under, it's a four or five volume series called Shilas Tshuvas Mima'amakim. Literally, again, Shalas and Tshuvas from the depths. The truth is, there is an English one volume, called, I think it's called the Responsa from the Holocaust, Rabbi Ephraim Ashri, Oshry. It's kedai to read it, because the truth is, it's the most powerful Musar Sefer that you'll ever read. Because literally, you see Jews asking Shilas in the most ridiculous circumstances. It's just, the Hebrew version is even more powerful because he goes into much greater depth, but it's incredibly overwhelming. So I'll tell you, so probably about, 20 years ago, 17, 18 years ago, whatever, I had the schus to meet, I was living in New Jersey, and there was someone who I knew who used to sell his chametz with Rav Ashri. Rav Ashri, when he came to America, he lived on the Lower East Side. So he asked me if I wanted to come to meet Rav Ashri. So of course, I went to, I think it was a couple of days before Pesach, I went to meet Rav Ashri. So you know, like in your mind, when you have an image of someone, like what they look like and what, so you know, I was Rav Ashri, like a man who had this, literally took the burden of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. So I had this whole image of him, and he opened the door opened, I didn't see anyone in front of me. I don't think Rav Ashri was even like 4'10". It was amazing. Such a tiny little man, but yet the most incredible shoulders, like shoulders for Am Yisrael. See, he has a fascinating question that someone posed to him. So someone wrote to him, And they said, in the ghetto, should we be reciting the bracha of Shalo Asani Oved? It's a good shayla, right? Should we be reciting the bracha every single day? It's a bracha Shalom Kerem HaChalom, Shalo Asani Oved. Shbarach Hu didn't make me a slave. But they're asking, so what's the shayla? What's the shayla they were asking? We're slaves. We're slaves. And by the way, not even like an Eved Ivri, not even like an Eved Kenani, we're subhuman slaves. We're like beasts of burden. We're like animals. Should we be reciting this bracha or not? It's a good shayla. So Rav Ashri says something absolutely amazing. Rav Ashri says, the bracha of Shalom Asani Aved is not a din, it's not a bracha that is made on physical servitude. It is a bracha that is made on spiritual servitude. When we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day for not making us an effort, for not making us a slave, what we're really thanking Him, we're really making a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me spiritual freedom. Thank you for making me the kind of person who has the ability to choose the kind of person he or she wants to be, even if I can't choose my circumstances. I may be a physical slave, but no one could ever make me a spiritual slave. I may have physical shackles upon me, but no one could ever put spiritual shackles upon me. And that is what the Medrash Shmuel is saying. The power of Kiddusha is that Kiddusha gives you the ability to be a Gibor. Kiddusha, holiness, gives you the ability to amass an incredible and overwhelming amount of strength. And it blesses you, and it gives you the ability to stand up even to the most severe winds. Does it mean that you're going to remain unimpacted? Does it mean that everything's going to be fine? No. It could be a lot of difficulty, a lot of suffering, a lot of trials and tribulations. But at the end of the day, I will maintain the ability to stand strong. That smoke that comes off of the Mizbeach represents the Kiddusha of the Jew. If you gird yourself with proper Kiddusha, then even the greatest winds will not be able to topple you over. Where there is Kiddusha, there is strength. And this is an incredible Yisod. Because what we learn from this is as follows. You see, the time to build spiritual strength is when... This is an important idea. See, people often find God, or people often look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midst of difficulty, trials, and tribulations. The time to make yourself spiritually strong and develop your spiritual strength is when? When times are good. When times are come before the wind begins to blow. Because, you know, often when the winds of life begin to blow, you know what, a person is suffering, a person is dealing with illness or adversity or tragedy. Sometimes it takes all of your energy just to keep your head above water. You often don't have the bandwidth for ruchnius, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for other things. The time to cultivate your smoke, so to speak, the time to cultivate your kiddusha is before the wind begins to blow. If you're waiting to cultivate your kiddusha until the wind begins to blow, chances are your smoke will dissipate. But if you build your Kiddusha when things are quote-unquote calm, not that life is always, anytime, really calm, but when things are calmer, when things are quieter, and you build your personal Kiddusha, then when the wind begins to blow, then in Mi'aretz Hashem, you will be able to stand your ground. Look at Rabbi Lau in number 10. He says something quite beautiful. It's along this similar idea. Mina'isha atzeh ma'aracha. Haya ole umitamer amudashan, right? From the wood of the ma'aracha. Remember again, the ma'aracha is the pyre, the pile of wood on the top of the mizbeach. So ultimately, again, a pillar of smoke would emerge, would ascend. Hu haya nir ke amud zakov v'yashar. So remember again, when that smoke would come off of the mizbeach, so the miracle was it would look like a straight pillar. Shalom in a mizbeach klapei mala. So actually, there's another piece as an aside. The beauty of that pillar of smoke is that that was often what you were able to see from the Beis Hamikdash from a great distance. Because remember again, that pillar of smoke ascended in a straight line from the Mizbeach all the way into the heavens. So even from a distance, you were able to see that pillar of smoke. Neis haya b'mikdash. There was an incredible miracle in Beis HaMikdash. V'gam kasher nashbu haruchos chazakos even when strong winds are blowing. Sufos esaros, storms and tornadoes. Lo nutzach amod ha'ashan. Hu lo natal etzdadim. Nishar yatsiv v'zakuf. Al-af sharuach asuya. Lios ba'alos otzma rabba. V'ruach gidola mefarsa. Skip a little bit. Skip to paragraph B. So what does this mean? What does this mean? He says, "Ima Yehudi dorg lekadesh esatzmo." So Rabbi Lau is really quoting the same basic idea as the Medrash Shmuel, but he says it a little bit more prolifically. So "Ima Yehudi dorg lekadesh esatzmo." If the Jew focuses on ultimately sanctifying him or herself, "Im hu dovek b'derech haTorah u'mekayim b'nafsho." Person clings to the way of the Torah and ultimately upholds within him or herself. Ki am kadosh Hashem la Hashem alokecha, va'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, koruchas shebaolam lo yinatzchu. So this is amazing. And really, this is kind of embellishing on the Medrash Shmuel. What do the ruchos represent? What in this miracle? What do the winds represent? What do they represent? I'm sorry. So it could be the Yetzirah, good. What else could it represent? The struggles. Right, remember again, I want to point out, Ruchos represents those day-to-day things which bombard us, right? There are many things which kind of like blow against us. There are many things that try to derail us. There are many circumstances, or I should say, that threaten to derail us. Those are the Ruchos of life. There are some major Ruchos, like adversity, tragedy, maybe Yetzirah. There are some more minor Ruchos, more minor winds, which are the things that we have to contend with day in and day out. And those are the very things which sometimes threaten to undermine who and what we are, the kedusha we have. He says, paragraph C, ba'olam no shvos ruchos raos. In this world, there are many winds that blow. Ruchos zaros. There are bad winds, foreign winds. Hamenasos lahasit et hayehudi midarko hayeshara. Winds which try to move us from the straight and narrow path. Maskifos hakomo shalanu. Winds which threaten to topple us. Ruchos pratzim shal idealim meurtalim mitochen mamashi, kirach she'ein bo mamish. And there are winds. Think about this for just a moment. What's one of the winds we encounter each and every day? One of the winds which blows on us every day. So Yetzirah, absolutely. But think about it, just societally, right? Are we not bombarded every single day with the winds of greater society? Right, greater society, there are many things which the world has to offer to us which are good. There are many things which we have to offer to the world. And then there are many other things in this world that just stand in contradistinction to what we believe in and who we are. And yet we often find ourselves bombarded by those alien ideas and ideals. And they blow against us. See, here I am, I have my smoke of Kedusha. And these winds are constantly blowing against me day in and day out. Paragraph D. Ima adam lo ikadish atzmo. So if I do not sanctify myself, hu alol lintos l'chol ruach mitzuya. You know, think about this for just a moment. So if you imagine that I'm like a person and I'm the sailboat, right? So the sailboat is directed by the wind. So what happens? How do you get the sailboat to go in the direction you want? Right? You have to figure out how to use the sails. Right? If you don't know how to use the sails, you don't know how to use the rudder. So wherever the wind blows, that's where your boat goes. That's the metaphor here. So ultimately, there are many winds which blow against us. If I don't have a strong sense of direction, if I don't have a strong sense of Kedusha, then wherever the wind blows, that's where I'm going to end up. So today the wind is blowing east, I'll go east. Tomorrow the wind is blowing west, I'll go west. And what happens? You never end up getting to your desired destination in life because you're so weak that you just follow wherever the wind blows. Says Rabbi Lau, If a person is not Mekadish himself, so what's the rudder for the Jew? What's my rudder? My rudder is Kedusha, right? What's the control mechanism of my sales? It's Kedusha. If I have Kedusha, if I bolster myself with holiness and life. And by the way, holiness is not some, when we speak about Kedusha, we mean Kedusha that comes from tachlis things. Kedusha which comes from Torah, Kedusha which comes from Tefillah, Kedusha which comes from Chesed, Kedusha which comes from Mitzvos. This is what gives me Kedusha. I don't mean some type of amorphous or ambiguous Kedusha. Kedusha which is rooted in tangible Avodas Hashem. These are the things that, this is the rudder. This is the rudder for life. So the great part about the rudder is, okay, there's a wind that's coming this way. I don't want to go that way. So my rudder helps me direct the sails in such a way that the wind doesn't push me where the wind wants me to go, but I go where I know I need to grow. Where I know I need to go. Paragraph E. His boninus. Ba'amot ha'ashan. Hametamer be'mikdash. Hametziach koruach mitzuyu she'ena mitzuya. Milamedes osanu musar. Says Rabbi Lau, there's an incredible musar here. Hayehudi. Ben Lam Kadosh, Al Lod Hisachif Acharuchos Zoros. Don't let yourself be blown around by foreign winds. Alov La'amod Yotziv. Life is often about standing strong and standing firm. Ve'ger biyad biyaduso b'taraso, with a sense of pride in your Yiddishkeit and in your Torah. Im yedabik b'kodesh b'kima Torah v'amitzos. And if you root yourself in holiness, in Torah and mitzvos, b'kiyum haTorah v'mitzvos, afilu koruchos sheba'olam ba'os v'noshvos bo, even if all of the winds of the world come and blow against me, ein mazizos oso bimkomo. At the end of the day, they will not be able to move me from my space, from my place. Paragraph F, he says, gam esneis hazeh motzeh hatiferes Yisrael, Kinei samor la'avodas hakodesh. Im tinatzeach haruach es amud ha'ashon, hari shuyate mata la'azara, v'yafrilo karam bevodosim, u'yisrael ma'adu la'azara. This is actually very interesting. So we'll hold on to that for just a moment. So I can't tell you like what a profound idea this is. This is, we have to become firmly rooted in our Kiddusha. If I'm not rooted in Kiddusha, the winds never stop blowing. Even when it seems to be calm and tranquil outside, the winds inside are always blowing. And there's always forces which are acting upon me, internally, externally, to push me in different directions. If I'm not firmly embedded in a life of Kiddusha, you get blown around all over the place. And a person doesn't know where they're going, person doesn't have direction, and a person never ends up in their desired location. The same way the sailboat. If you don't know how to work the sails, you don't know how to work the rudder, you'll simply end up wherever the wind decides to push you. If you're rooted in Kedusha, if you're rooted in holiness, then you could stand up and you could stand strong to the winds of life. The Tiferes Yisrael just adds in an additional piece over here, which is, there is a utilitarian purpose for this miracle as well. What's the utilitarian purpose of the miracle? What would happen if the smoke indeed got blown around? What would have happened, says the Tiferes Yisrael? What would have happened? Look at paragraph F for just a moment. What would have happened if this miracle were not in effect and the wind would have impacted the smoke? What would have occurred? It would have bothered the Kohanim in their avoda. So it would have, isn't that amazing? Meaning, if the smoke everywhere, so the Kohanim get bothered in the avoda, it would bother the Yisraelim who are also, they're not for avoda, but in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the message? What do you think? The Tiferes Yisrael is building on the Medrash Shmuel. So Medrash Shmuel tells me that the message of the miracle is, be firmly grounded in your Kedusha, and if you're firmly grounded and embedded in a life of Torah, then even when the winds come blowing against you, you'll be able to stand strong. The Tiferes Yisrael says, oh, and by the way, otherwise, if the wind blows the smoke all around, it gets in the eyes of everyone else. What's the message? What's the message? Excellent. Let me reframe that a little bit. If you don't do your part, you negatively impact other people as well. This is the din of Arvos. The din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh means that we are all interconnected. And if I don't do my part, then the smoke gets in your eyes. And if the smoke gets in your eyes, then guess what? Unfortunately, you're compromised as well. This is an incredible, incredible yisod. And let's take a moment to speak about this, because I often think that this is a core issue which very often we kind of relegate to the back burner a little bit. See, one of the reasons why sometimes we do things that we know we shouldn't be doing is why? Because I think that the fallout is limited to me. It is limited to me. Meaning, most people, if you explain to them that, by the way, if you do X, whatever the X is, not only is it going to impact your neshama, but let me show you how it's going to impact your neighbor, how it's going to impact your klal, your people, and it's going to impact the world. Most normal people, if they saw that, what would happen? They wouldn't do it. Right, because at the end of the day, I'm a good person. And again, even if I'm willing to kind of deal with the fallout of my actions myself, I don't want to negatively impact you. You're all nice people. I have no interest in doing anything to hurt you. So generally, I would cease and desist. This, by the way, is what the Gemara says. Remember the Gemara in Sechas Kiddushin. The Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Tshuva. So what does the Rambam say? Li'olam yira adam chetziv zaka v'chetziv chayiv. Which means what? The person should always view themselves as how? What's another word for this? A benoni, right? A person should always view themselves as a benoni. Chetziv chayiv, the image, again, the scales. What do the scales look like?
Balanced.
Va'olam, chetziv zakai v'chetziv benoni. And a person should always view the world as half righteous, half not so righteous. The scales are balanced. Asa mitzvah achos. Person does one mitzvah. Hechriyas atzmo ves kol ha'olam kulo. He tilts the scales for himself and for the world. Asa aveira achos, hechrias atzmo ves kol ha'olam kulo. Global responsibility. Global responsibility. Every single thing that I do or I don't do impacts me and impacts the entire world. This is not just like a nice, fluffy Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation idea. Right? This is halacha. This is the Gemara, this is the Rambam, this is the Chos Tshuva. When I do something, understand, when I do something, I am tilting the scales one way or the other. Not just for myself, not just for my community, not just for my people, for the world. For the world. And literally, every single action falls into this category. Sounds overwhelming, right? Good, I'm assuming just because you're all tired, you're not falling off your chairs about this, right? Meaning, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming because what it means is we are vested with a ridiculous amount of responsibility. Every single thing I do tilts the personal and global scales one way or the other. So it says that the Pharisees saw the same exact idea. The miracle is that as long as I am steeped in Kiddusha, as long as I am steeped in a life of holiness, and again, that means tangible holiness, that every single day I'm strengthening myself, every single day I'm growing, every single day I'm trying to be better, every single day I'm trying to expand, every single day I'm trying to become greater, then ultimately again, the winds will not dissipate my smoke. But the moment I'm not embedded in a life of Kiddusha, so the winds will dissipate my smoke. When the winds blow, my smoke can't withstand them. My smoke dissipates. And when my smoke dissipates, it gets into the eyes of everyone else. And when it gets into the eyes of everyone else, aside from the discomfort that it may cause them, more profoundly, it prevents them from doing their part. And when I prevent fellow Jews from doing their part, then at the end of the day, my act or my lack of Kiddusha is magnified 1,000-fold. Because suddenly, not only am I not doing what I should be doing, but apparently, again, my smoke that's getting blown all over the place, apparently now is preventing other people from doing what they're supposed to be doing as well. An incredibly overwhelming idea. On one hand, root yourself in a life of Kiddusha, and your smoke will be able to rise up in a straight pillar and not be blown away by the winds of the world and the winds of society. And conversely, if chas v'shalom, I'm not doing that, and my smoke can't withstand the winds, understand I'm not just impacting myself, but I'm impacting those around me as well. Good. Let's do one more for today. Take a look at number 11. The Medrash Shmuel. So Medrash Shmuel says something very beautiful. He says, Hanes HaZayin, Hu V'lo Nimtza Pisul Ba'omer U'B'Shtei Alechem. Miracle number 7. What does that mean? V'lo Nimtza Pisul Ba'omer U'B'Shtei Alechem. What does that mean? Good. There was never a defect or a psul. The Omer is what? Comes from?
Barley.
Offered on? Second day of Pesach. So there was never some type of psul. There was never some type of defect. Right? In the Omer Shtei Alechem is brought when? Shavuos. Right? Special two-lob offering brought on Shavuos. So what's the message here? So again, says the Medrash Shmuel, Hodia ki kimo sha'asa Hashem Yisbarach. Now let's analyze this. Says the Medrash Shmuel. Now let's talk this out for just a moment. If there was a psul in the Omer, right? If there was a psul in the Omer, so what would happen? Right? So remember again, you've got problems. The issue of Omer and Shtei Alechem is that they are unique karbanos. So for example, remember again, let's say for some reason you don't have an animal for the Tamid Shel Shachar, the morning communal sacrifice. So what happens? You don't bring it. And what do you do? Hopefully you'll have one for later on. Right? Okay, you know what? Meaning, essentially, life goes on. The Omer and the Shtei Alechem are kind of important because each of them signify, each of them trigger other halachic realities as well. So the Medrash Shmuel says something amazing. It says, Ki kamo sha'asa Hashem Yisbarach, shelo nimtza piso be'ilu advarim, lifishim haya nimtza, lo haya lahem temura, velo efshar lahakriv achirim tachtehem. Right, so remember again, what's unique about the Omer and what's unique about the Shtei Alechem is, there's no like second chance. For example, remember again, the Karban HaOmer was harvested at night. What would happen is Matzei Yomtiv, remember, Eretz Yisrael, so it was one day Yomtiv. So right after the first day of Pesach, they would go out to the field. They would harvest the Omer that night. The Omer had to be harvested at night. So which means is, comes the next day, if there were to be some defect in the Karban HaOmer, you're stuck. You're stuck. Because you can't just go out to the field and harvest more barley. It dafka had to be harvested at night. And remember again, how much barley did you harvest for the Omer? How much barley? Enough. What does that mean? Enough for the carbon. You were not harvesting like, well, in case something happens to the Omer, let's have some extra barley on hand. No, you harvested what you needed for the Omer. So if something were to happen the next morning or the next day, your mamish stuck. You're stuck. So amazingly enough, says the Medrash Shmuel, the miracle over here was what? The miracle was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that nothing ever happened to the Karban HaOmer or to the Shtei Alechem, because if something did happen, then what? There would be no replacement. So what's the message? Here the Medrash Shmuel doesn't spell out the message as much. What do you think the message is? I'm sorry? Beautiful. Habolatar Messiah also. That in life, sometimes you can't control the results. Well, I should take that differently. Most times in life, you can't control the results. What do you control? What do you control in life?
The effort.
See here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to bring the Karban HaOmer. The Karban has a very specific process through which it's harvested, and that requires it to be harvested at night and only a specific amount, right? Remember, Torah gives all these provisions. It's at night, it's a specific amount. Great, I show up the next day. I only have exactly what I need for the Karban HaOmer. So many things could happen, right? What could happen that could be metame the Karban HaOmer? Simplest case, by the way, the Karban HaOmer could go bad. What's the simplest case? The way it becomes unusable? Use your halachic imagination here for just a moment. Simplest way. Sorry? Oh, see, and that could be good. What else? I would think the simplest way is a sheretz. A mouse gets in there and dies. And die. If the mouse comes and goes, you never know. But the mouse gets in there and dies. That's too much sheretz. Too much. Now, again, you have to imagine that there's like a high probability of that kind of stuff happening. Right? But yet, again, it never occurred. It never, ever occurred. Same thing with Shtei Alechem. Never occurred. Why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, you do your best, and I will bless your efforts with success. Then at the end of the day, the message over here is we don't control the results. The only thing we control is the effort. And as beautifully said, Abba Tar Misayino So. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you try and you put in your effort and you do what is necessary to come to me, then ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will bless your efforts with success. Now again, it doesn't mean every single time you try, you succeed, because sometimes part of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is not to succeed. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to fail also. Sometimes that's part of the plan, because failure is part of our growth as well. But as a general message, the message ultimately was never a psul. We go out to the field, you harvest your wheat, you harvest your barley. You do your part. You put in your effort and allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to control the results. And this is an incredible idea, because sometimes in life, you see this a lot of times where people don't want to do certain things where they can't control the outcome. Right? I only want to do things if I know I can be successful. So first of all, if you only do things in life that you know you can be successful, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands, because there are very few meaningful things in life that you could do and control your success. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't measure our success through successful results. HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures our success through incredible, consistent, ongoing effort. You go out to the field. You do your thing. You harvest your barley. You harvest your wheat. The harvesting of the barley, harvesting the wheat represents our effort in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you do your part, and I will do my part in assuring that your efforts are blessed with success. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up in Emirat Hashem with the eighth miracle on Wednesday.